Welcome to 2024, my friends. You know, we can't just let 2023 slip away without evaluating it, without evaluating the stories that we were told about what was happening in 2023. Now, with the benefit of hindsight, of being able to go back and say, was crime really high? Was the economy really bad? Did we really stop being energy independent, as so many in the American right wing have said? Let's dive into some of these questions, and we will be able to do more of this as we close out the numbers of 2023 in a number of different ways. Let's start with oil and gas. One of the big narratives that we've heard, not only from the failed former president Donald Trump, who is, of course, under 91 felony indictments and is a civilly liable rapist and all of those things, that guy. Not only have we heard it from Trump, but we've heard from others. We were energy independent the day I left the Oval Office, and then in came Joe Biden, and now we're not energy independent anymore. We're not producing oil and gas anymore because Biden something pipeline, blah, 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 electric vehicles. It turns out that none of this is true. And I'm going to give you the numbers, but I do think it's important just to put out there, just because we debunk a lie doesn't mean that we have changed our political position on that issue. I'll give you an example. It is very much untrue that oil and gas production is down under Biden. In fact, it's at a record high. However, as progressives, we still want to get away from burning carcinogenic fossil fuels into the atmosphere to power our lives if there are greener, less unhealthy, renewable alternatives. So just because they're lying doesn't mean we want to burn more oil, which gets us to this. U.S. oil production reached an all-time high in 2023 and was also more than any other country. So however you want to compare it, however you want to measure it, we were as energy independent in 2023 as ever before. This is a transcript of an interview from PBS. And the critical point here is the following. At this point, the United States is producing about 13.5 million barrels a day of oil, and we're heading towards 14 million barrels a day. This is Clifford Krauss from the New York Times being interviewed on NPR. That is more oil than any country in the world. That is a record for the United States, and it may well be the record for any country in the world. Understand that. Trump and MAGA says, we're down on oil production. We're not energy independent. Countries are beating us. In 2023, we produced more oil than we ever have before. We produced more oil than any other country did in 2023. And it is believed that in 2023, the United States produced more oil than any country ever has in a single year in the history of Homo sapiens and this planet. Oh, but we're not energy independent anymore. Now, let's get to the broader. That's the data. What about the political story? We are progressives, so we have a complex challenge where we need to debunk obvious lies being told by the right about energy independence and oil production under the Biden administration, because they are lying. And also, we need to remember that we're committed to environmental sustainability. Our goal is to transition away from fossil fuels. We want to go to renewable energy sources. Record number of electric vehicles sold. Record number of solar panels are now installed. That's all stuff we want to continue to push. And the Infrastructure Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, does. Where do we find that balance? As people on the left who, you know, they talk about facts don't care about your feelings. Their feeling is that we're no longer energy independent. Turns out by their definition, we are. Their feeling is that the economy's bad. Turns out it's good. So we need to be the people who care about the facts rather than the feelings. And we have to be able to say two things. Under President Biden, the U.S. has not only maintained, but actually increased fossil fuel production and so-called energy independence. They're lying about that. We also need to have Joe Biden do more to get us off of fossil fuels. And I would love to accelerate that. We should encourage the Biden administration. Hey, the initial measures you've put in place here, getting back in the Paris Climate Agreement, the ambitious climate legislation, investing in green tech, putting out guidelines and targets when it comes to electric vehicles and energy retrofits and all of these things. That's all good. We want more of that. And also, by the way, Republicans are lying about your record about making us subservient to Saudi Arabia or to Russia or to whoever when it comes to fossil fuels. We fight lies, but we don't cheerlead oil. And that's where we are. Those are the numbers from 2023, record oil production. On the one hand, that means MAGA is wrong about the numbers. We also have to remember that they're wrong about the path forward. We don't measure success by how much oil we can drill and refine. We measure success by how much less damaging to the planet while still being useful to our daily lives does our energy consumption and production become. Solar is a part of that. Wind is a part of that. Geothermal, although not strictly speaking renewable in the same way, can be a part of that as well. I'm going to play some extraordinary video for you today of Family Guy creator Seth MacFarlane just intellectually dribbling Bill Maher's head all over his own podcast. Bill Maher invited Seth MacFarlane on, and I think it's great that Bill Maher regularly has people on who make him look uninformed. I'm not saying that sarcastically. It's great that he doesn't just shoot fish in a barrel and he brings people on who can say, Bill, you're wrong about a lot of this stuff. The topic of COVID came up. The topic of vaccines came up, and Bill Maher says many things that aren't true. Seth MacFarlane very calmly and rationally takes it all apart. Let's just jump right into this and I'll give you my thoughts as we go.
Like what would be an example of that?
I would think this country did not allow for natural immunity to be considered. And I know this is a subject dear to your heart.
Yes.
Like, even if you had the disease, you still had to get a vaccine. That's powerful, stupid. They don't do that in Europe.
I think they do that here. There's mandatory vaccination in grade in schools.
Right, but if you already had the disease, you have natural immunity. We didn't seem to believe in that.
That was here. Debunked, though. I mean,
that's not debunked.
You know people have had COVID four or five times? I do.
So this is interesting because, of course, this isn't what they mean by natural immunity, but it's actually a really great point. If natural immunity was useful, then you would think that having gotten COVID would either protect you from getting it again or protect you from future strains or whatever. And it actually doesn't. Now, it's not untrue to say that when you immediately recover from COVID, you now do have immunity, at least for some period of time, against that same strain. But the genesis of the idea was let it run rampant and then there will be no more COVID. But as we know, because it evolves and because it changes, that just doesn't work. If that worked, you wouldn't get sick from it five times. And Seth MacFarlane points it out.
Yeah, natural immunity. There's no immunity there. You've had COVID five times.
Probably because you had too many vaccines. I didn't.
Now this is crazy. Okay. This happens often with these folks. They make a point and you go, that makes no sense. Here's a very simple counterpoint. Oh, well, that's probably because of something else. The reason getting COVID doesn't protect you as much as it could is because you had too many vaccines. You won't find that anywhere in any kind of evidence-based trial. That's for sure.
Did the vaccine gave you COVID?
Well, that's certainly nothing unscientific about the fact that the vaccine, which does weaken you in order to strengthen you.
Says do all vaccines.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But while you're in a weakened state, yes. That's why so many people like me got it, did not have it while the thing was raging and I was taking zero precautions.
Now, this is an anecdote. But again, he's putting forward another claim that is not based in reality. In the period after you've been vaccinated, you are weakened and thus more likely to get COVID. I looked for evidence of that. Wasn't able to find any.
Because I was never that afraid of it.
But that's anecdotal. Like, I've had every booster there is to have.
Anecdotal that, yeah.
And I have never had COVID. I get a flu shot once a year. I haven't had the flu in 20 years.
Right. Well, I haven't eaten. I don't get a flu shot.
Okay, so this is all anecdotal,
right.
But you know the difference between anecdotal and statistical.
I do.
And statistically, you still have a 90% better chance of not being hospitalized, not dying if you're vaccinated.
Okay, but that's assuming all people are alike, and that is one of the giant fallacies in your way of thinking. We are not all alike. Yes, I would recommend and have recommended the COVID vaccine for the high-risk people.
By the way, it's funny the idea that Bill Maher is evaluating people and saying, I think you should get the vaccine. I don't really recommend it for you. Who is Bill Maher to be recommending vaccines to specific people based on their whatever status he assesses them to have?
Like if you're 90 or fat, get it. Absolutely. You need it. Some people don't.
But you had...
Djokovic didn't need it.
But you had...
Aaron Rodgers didn't need it.
But you had something like 1,900 kids who died of COVID during the pandemic.
No, I don't think that's right.
No, just don't believe that statistic.
How many of them died from the vaccine? None.
The New York...
And the thinking there is that, well, probably most kids are not going to die from COVID, so why bother with the vaccine? Because it's only going to be a few hundred kids, right?
I don't know how many kids died. That seems very high to me. I know at one point the New York Times grossly, talking about misinformation, they had to apologize. They got it completely wrong.
This is called a red herring. In order to challenge Seth MacFarlane's number of 1,900 kids dying, he says one time the New York Times got something wrong. Okay, well, that was years ago and it's been corrected. How does that have any bearing on what Seth is saying? This is a classic distraction technique.
Reported something like 900,000 children have been hospitalized, and it was like 63,000. So maybe those facts should be checked.
Papers can get it wrong, and they print retractions, and you know this.
But also, with COVID or from COVID, did 1,900 children die with COVID? Yes, it's a whole different story.
Okay, but take 7 million people worldwide. 7 million people worldwide who died from COVID. Like, if even just a fraction of that is, and it's probably a larger fraction who died of COVID than who died with COVID. Even just a fraction of that is, that's still a lot of fucking people. That's a lot of fucking people.
Yes, and, but what? Okay,
that's some people. 7 million people.
Things are, and you cannot prevent that.
You can, though. I mean, you can prevent.
At what cost?
But what's the cost of getting a vaccine? The fact that you don't even have a clue.
What's the cost of getting a vaccine that answer to that? No, you completely want to shut your eyes to the fact that there are repercussions to all medical interventions, including a vaccine. All vaccines, they say side effects just like every medication does. Sure. You can see it in the literature. They can't write it on the back, on the vaccine. So you have to dig them. And of course, there is a vaccine court because so many people have been injured. This is not a screed to say, don't do vaccines. I'm not against doing vaccines. I'm against doing vaccines that I don't think I need. I should be able to decide that for myself inside my body. But yes, there are pathogens that would come along that I would fight you for.
But don't you think
to get the vaccine?
Okay, that's a good point.
To get the vaccine.
And you bring me to my next point. Don't you think that the vitriol and the aggression towards that the anti-vaccination movement the way it souped itself up during all this, that the next time there is a pandemic, our public health system is so weakened.
Yes, exactly. Because of them and their f***ing misinformation that made people skeptical. The fact that everybody came out and said, if you get the vaccine, you cannot get the disease. And then, of course, that was wrong. And if you get the vaccine, you can transmit it.
But they were learning right alongside us.
I understand.
You just said yourself, doctors are often wrong. They are, especially when they're researching a brand new disease.
And I am not blaming them for it. I'm just saying that's why there shouldn't be the science. There's no the in science. That's what you want. You want just to be the one.
This is bonkers stuff right here.
No, that's not true at all.
Well, it is.
No, the strength
and
of
you
science.
And you don't want it. You don't know
the
what
strength of science is that it has the capacity to evolve.
But
and
just acknowledge that vaccines have ill effects on some people.
They do, of course, anecdotally. But statistically, it's here and it's here. It's like people. How many? 7 million people died of COVID. How many people died from the vaccine? Probably a few.
But
I don't know what the number is. But I know it's not 7 million.
If we were more judicious about who needed it versus who it might hurt,
the thing that's missing from this goes on for a while. The thing that's of course missing from this is that there really is no more of this widespread mandate to get this vaccine. And I've been the first to say, once it became clear that this vaccine did not prevent transmission or getting the disease, but worked extraordinarily well at preventing you from getting really sick or dying, the argument for mandating it certainly was diminished. I was one of the first to say it. And I think one of the people that is finding the right balance on this issue is actually Sam Harris, who in an episode where he did a sort of review of everything on COVID, he pointed out that this was an emergency situation with millions dying. And when people were dying by the thousands daily in so many countries, including the United States, you use all the evidence and information you have to make the best decision possible. And when that first version of the vaccine did work well at preventing transmission and infection, a lot of those requirements made perfect sense. Over time, those requirements have been done away with. The effectiveness of the vaccine on transmission, on getting infected at all, has changed as the variants have gone forward. And that doesn't mean that because now we're doing something different, what was done in that unique 100-year pandemic explosion moment was wrong. And so I think where Marr misses the mark is that he goes too far in some areas, but is not nearly charitable enough in others. And he ends up making himself sound like an extremist. Now, this is not new for Bill Maher. I think on many things, Bill Maher makes sense. And on anything medical, for a long time, you go back and watch interviews that Bill Maher did with Larry King 25 years ago. He was already weird. Like, he had an anti-aspirin moment where he said, why would anyone take aspirin? The body isn't aspirin deficient. So why do you take aspirin? Well, that's not the way it works. The reason you take aspirin is not because the body is lacking aspirin. It's because you want to reduce a fever, for example, or whatever the case may be. So it's not new that Bill Maher is a little bit all over the place on medical stuff. Seth MacFarlane is really good at this, and I'm glad that he was on. One of our sponsors today is Deal Dash. Deal Dash is an auction website. It's been around 14 years. You might have seen their ads on TV. Deal Dash only auctions brand new items. You can get incredible deals. A Nintendo Switch sold for $22 recently. Deal Dash auctions anything from iPads to clothing, autograph memorabilia, you name it. And here's how it works. You buy bids up front, for example, $30 for 400 bids. Every auction starts at $0. There's no minimum, and each bid increases the price by a penny. If no one bids only 10 seconds after you bid, you win the auction. I found an awesome chair on Deal Dash that's going to look great in my office. I'm bidding on it right now. It's sort of fun. If you don't win the item, you can use the Buy It Now feature to buy the item at the listed price, and you get your bids back. And you have a 90-day money-back guarantee on your first bid pack purchase. So try it out. Use my promo code PACMAN for 100 free bids with your first bid pack purchase, or go to deal-.com/PACMAN. The info is in the podcast notes. Here's something I would recommend very highly to the guys in the audience. If you're sick of the chafing and the rubbing that you get with traditional underwear, check out our sponsor, Sheath. Sheath makes ergonomically designed men's underwear with separate compartments in the front, preventing the sticking together of things. It lets everything breathe. It lets air circulate, keeping you comfortable, dry, and fresh all day long. Wave goodbye to the sweatiness, please, to the stickiness, to the readjustments. They have a ton of designs. Everyone can find something they like. And Sheath also is now offering super comfortable women's underwear, as well as silky smooth base layer undershirts and bottoms for men. With every purchase, you're supporting multiple nonprofit organizations related to mental health, homelessness, Doctors Without Borders. Sheath is a very socially conscious company, which I love. Sheath has over 20,000 five-star reviews, fast shipping, world-class customer service, and Sheath is the perfect gift for any man or woman on your shopping list. Go to sheathunderwear.com/Pacman and you'll get 20% off with the code Pacman. That's S-H-E-A-T-H underwear.com/Pacman. Use the code Pacman for 20% off. The info is in the podcast notes. It's really here. It's really 2024. We are just months from the 2024 presidential election. And I am going to be super honest with you. I don't tell you that a lot rides on an election if I don't genuinely believe that a lot rides on an election. In the 2024 election, I do believe that democracy as we know it is at stake. The 2012 presidential election, I voted for Obama over Romney, but democracy was not at stake in that election. It now is. And so we have launched a new coupon code starting today, SaveDemocracy24. This coupon code offers the largest discount we've ever done on memberships at joinpacman.com. And remember that when the new website launches, estimated to be around February 15th now, our membership rates are going up for the first time in 10 years. So this is a great opportunity not only to lock in today's rates, but to lock in today's rates discounted 60% for as long as you want to keep the membership. Simply go to joinpacman.com. And again, that coupon code is SaveDemocracy24. Let's continue fact-checking 2023's predictions to see who was right and who was wrong. It's important not just to mention things and then never follow up on them. We want to do follow up and say, hey, who was right about some of these claims that they made? So let's go now to some of the anti-vaccine claims that we heard last year. I want to remind you about this young lady, Sherry Tenpenny. Sherry Tenpenny claims to be an anti-vaccine expert or a vaccine expert who is anti-vaccine. And a year ago, almost to the day, a year ago, she said in 2023, you are going to know so many people that will die from the COVID vaccine. Do any of you know a single person who died from the COVID vaccine? Here was Sherry Tenpenny's prediction a year ago. Judge for yourself. Was she correct?
Now we're seeing the tsunami of deaths that I've been talking about since the beginning of 21.
Are we?
Millions of people are going to die. You know, when Judy Mikovits came out on Plandemic at the beginning of that and said that more than 50 million people are going to die, and everybody was like, whoa.
Yeah. And that didn't happen, obviously.
And when they started interviewing me and they asked me, what did I think about that number? I said, it's way too low. It's going to be much more than 50 million people in America alone.
Right. So think about that. 50 million people would be about one in six people in America. Has one out of every six people you know died? And have they died because of the COVID vaccine? Think about how moronic and absurd these predictions are.
And we're already starting to see it.
Are we?
So the tsunami of deaths is coming. It's already here. And I believe that what's happening now and is starting to happen now is the tsunami of regret. Of the people that fell for the lies, your friends and family members and parents and children and all they did to your grandchildren just could not be told otherwise.
Right.
But now that people are dying like flies, I mean, my business partner has 83 close people in his life that have died. 83.
Now, they may well have died. If that's true, they probably died of COVID. But the implication here is that those 83 people died because of the COVID vaccine, for which they have no evidence.
It's the beginning. And I predict that by the end of this year, every person in this room and every person listening behind here is going to know a minimum of five, probably 10 or more close friends and family members that have died from these shots.
I will ask you, do you know a minimum of five people who died from the COVID vaccine? Do you know probably 10 people who have died from the COVID vaccine? Close friends, family members, as she says. I don't know a single person, to be totally honest with you. These people's predictions are bogus and they should never be listened to. And they do this every year. Let's go back to 2022. Here is the very same Sherry Tenpenny in 2022 making a prediction about what we were expecting by the end of that year. Realize that now it's been 2 years since this prediction.
The more shots you get, the more you destroy your immune system and the faster that happens. And it's anticipated, the German data says that by the end of 2022, every fully vaccinated person over the age of 30 may have the equivalent of full-blown vaccine-induced immune-suppressed AIDS.
Now, do you know even a single person over age 30 who has vaccine-induced AIDS? I don't even know what that is. I've been able to find no evidence of such a condition in any medical journal. And I certainly don't know anybody who has it. They need to be held accountable. Sherry Tenpenny has been making these predictions for years. She's a few pennies short of a quarter, I think it's fair to say. Hold them accountable. They have no business making any prediction whatsoever. And remember, if they had their way, they would outlaw these vaccines. Now, listen, I'm not an unreasonable person. Do I wish the COVID vaccines worked at preventing infection altogether? I would love it. I would love it if the COVID vaccine made it so that if I have it and I'm around 10 people breathing COVID onto me, I just don't get the virus. I would love it if it worked like that. It doesn't work like that. It's still something that is going to most likely keep you out of the hospital and keep you alive. And that's a great thing, too. So we can recognize, hey, here's the ideal, the gold standard for what I wish this vaccine did. Doesn't do that. But is it killing millions of people and giving them vaccine-induced AIDS? It is not. And Sherry Tenpenny, I would love to find her somewhere and say, hey, here's the prediction you made. You said fit more than 50 million people would be dead in 2023 from the vaccine. Population of the U.S. is going up. Think about it. Population is 335 million. If she'd be right, we'd be down to 285 million people in the United States. We're not. The population keeps going up. Where are these 50 million deaths? What would she say? I don't know. I'm sure she would say she would have something to say, but I don't know what it is. Let's do our final for today, 2023 follow up. Another big story from 2023 was that Democrat run cities, that's their phrase, not mine, Democrat run cities are overrun with crime. Crime is up everywhere. It's a disaster. Crime, crime, crime. And in particular, they love talking about Detroit and they love talking about murders. Well, I have news for you, my friends. Detroit has recorded the lowest number of homicides in 57 years, dating all the way back to 1966. Those are the numbers. Now, I know that facts don't care about our feelings. Or is it that our feelings don't care about the facts? Well, it seems for them, their feelings don't care about the facts because they, I mean, listen, Detroit, it's just a hellscape. Detroit recorded 252 homicides last year. Still too many, but the lowest number since 1966, 57 years ago, 58 years ago now, while non-fatal shootings declined for the fourth year in a row. Violent crime in Detroit was down 1.6% from 2022. Carjackings down 33%. To a level unseen, this is per the Detroit News, to a level unseen since the term carjacking was coined in 1991. Property crime was up 1.7%, driven by an increase in larceny, and motor vehicle theft was down 4%. What is to blame, or what is who gets the credit for this decrease? The Detroit police said in a statement, quote, effective data-based strategy, the hard work of the best police officers in the country, and collaboration with our partners resulted in historic reductions in crime, including a 57-year low in homicides. By the way, overall, a 13% decline in killings across the United States. This is the largest decline in killings on record. So, We talked about this at the top of the show. We first have to start with what are the facts, but we don't let the facts blind us to what is the goal. Is crime still too high in so many areas? It is. Is crime up in some places? Yes. But we have to start with crime is mostly down. By the way, just I'll add this. Other cities recording large drops in homicides, Atlanta down 22%, Baltimore down 22%, Chicago down 12%, Houston down 20%, LA down 15%, New York down 11%. Part of this is the economy. Okay, it cannot be ignored that in general, one of the greatest crime reduction things that can happen is a solid economy. Almost everybody's working. We have record low unemployment rate. Wages are up, not as much as we would like to see them be up, but they are up. Inflation is down. GDP is up, meaning that employers are continuing to have profits from which they are going to say, hey, let's hire more people. Let's give some people raises. These are crime reduction strategies. A good economy, education, healthcare for folks so they don't have to figure out, do I have to steal in order to pay for healthcare? Joe Biden doesn't get all the credit. You all know I don't play political games with this. Presidents have some, but not all, to do with overarching economic circumstances. And the story from the right is we have a crime-riddled country. It's worse than ever under Joe Biden. It is not. Some of these numbers are the lowest homicide numbers, lowest violent crime numbers in decades, if not longer. Start with the facts, then we move to what we would like to see. I love my Helix sleep mattress. I've been sleeping on Helix mattresses for years now, which is why I asked them to be a sponsor. You actually take their famous sleep quiz, takes just a few minutes to answer questions about your sleep preferences, body type, sleep position, whether you have back pain, and Helix will match you with a mattress that's perfect for you, which is really unique and helpful because a lot of people don't know where to start when buying a mattress. I certainly didn't. Their newest collection of mattresses, called Helix Elite, come with a built-in Glaciotex layer to keep you cool at night, an extra layer of foam for pressure relief, and thousands of extra micro coils for best-in-class support and durability. All of their mattresses ship right to your door, totally free. They come with a 10 or 15 year warranty, and you get 100 nights to decide if you like it. My audience also gets a whopping 20% off all orders, plus two free pillows. Go to helixsleep.com/Pacman and enter code HELIXPARTNER20 at checkout. That's helixsleep.com/Pacman. Then use code HELIXPARTNER20 to get 20% off and two free pillows. The info is in the podcast notes. The reason, of course, that our 2024 membership coupon code is SaveDemocracy24 is because it should be abundantly clear to anybody who's paying attention that democracy is at risk in the 2024 presidential election. They didn't get away with it in 2020, and for that we have to be thankful. But could they get away with it if they try it again? They know where they failed in 2020, and they are preparing to do it again in 2024. Donald Trump is overtly preparing a claim of fraud if he does not win in 2024. He did it in a crazed New Year's post on Truth Social.
Truth Central.
That's right. Where he said, quote, "It's becoming more and more obvious to me why the crazed Democrats are allowing millions and millions of totally unvetted migrants into our once great capital C country. It's so they can vote, vote, vote. They are signing them up. This isn't a frequent flyer program. We're signing them up for what? They are signing them up at a rapid pace without even knowing who the hell they are. It all makes sense now. Republicans better wake up and do something before it is too late. Are you listening, Mitch McConnell?" So there are a number of important elements to this that we should discuss. Don't know if we should discuss the practical or the philosophical. Let's do the philosophical first. He's setting himself up to claim fraud again. He is starting earlier than last time. Last time he started over the summer in election year. This time he's starting in January. He really started in 2023. He really started in 2022 when it came to the 2024 election. He is setting it up to once again say they stole it from me. He knows where he failed last time. Well, we had the slates of fake electors, but they didn't actually get to do anything that they wanted. We were trying to strong arm state officials, but they rejected a lot of my claims. Some of the judges rejected my claims. They know where their points of weakness were. And so they're obviously working on trying to get set up not to be dissuaded or repelled in those areas. What they have cooked up is not totally clear, but we know part of it has to do with Project 2025 and with having unhinged loyalists in as many positions of power as possible. So philosophically, Trump is going to try to do it again. We know that. We need to work to prevent that. Secondly, I want to go to this idea, and this is not Trump's. This is not an idea unique to Donald Trump. Many on the right, right-wing media figures, right-wing elected officials have been pushing this idea for a while. The reason the left wants an open border, which, by the way, we don't have, nor is anyone advocating for. The reason the left wants an open border is that they want to bring in illegal immigrants, sign them up to vote, and then they win elections that way. Now, there are a couple of problems with this hypothesis. First of all, you don't get to vote unless you're a citizen. And I know they claim, well, they just show up and vote. There's no evidence of that, right? This is the idea that an undocumented immigrant shows up somewhere and says, oh, I'm John Smith. I'm here to vote. And they go, OK, here, John, take a ballot and vote. And that's how illegal immigrants are stealing votes from citizens. No evidence that that's happening whatsoever. So then they go to the next phase. The next phase is, David, don't, that's so simplistic. They bring the illegal immigrants in. They give them citizenship and then they are allowed to vote. OK, well, there is almost no path to make that happen. And undocumented immigrants, when they are found, they are actually deported. We have the DACA situation with those brought in as minors. It's a different thing, but that's not happening. And they go, OK, no. So here's what they do. They want to allow in as legal immigrants, as many people as possible, so that they can become citizens and then vote for Democrats. This is a very stupid strategy, if it were the strategy that Democrats were employing. Because it takes years to do that. I don't remember now offhand. My family did it. I think you have to be a permanent resident for 7 years before you can apply for citizenship. So Joe Biden opening the border in January of 2021 to try to get people here legally, even though they're talking about opening the border to illegal immigrants, it's incoherent. It doesn't matter. Joe Biden letting people in starting in January 2021 is not going to get you legal voting American citizens by November of 2024. The timeline does not work. And then lastly, the reason that this is a very dumb strategy is it is not true that by an overwhelming margin, immigrants vote for Democrats. There are immigrants from some countries that do overwhelmingly vote for Democrats. There are immigrants from certain countries that actually vote more for Republicans than for Democrats. We did the list previously and I don't have it in front of me, but it is not, a 7 year process to try to give the legal vote to a population that only favors Democrats by a little bit. And that only would matter in a few states would be a very boneheaded way to try to win elections. They're misguided on every aspect of this. But the scary part is Trump is setting it up to try it again in 2024. We shouldn't just laugh off. It obviously didn't work in 20, so it won't work in 24. The way we should be thinking about it is it almost could have worked in 20. And we need to make damn sure that it doesn't work in 2024. Donald Trump held a New Year's Eve party. It went horribly wrong. Trump was visibly shaking back and forth at many points of the party. He looks absolutely miserable. The cult thinks he's the chosen one. And we're going to, we're closing out 2023. Here is how Trump closed it out. They brought up cover singer, I guess, to do the Proud to Be an American song that is Trump's entrance music at his rallies. Trump standing there like the cult leader he is. Let me back up from my desk a little bit. Just sort of swaying back and forth as a guy 4 feet away from him scream sings right into Trump's ear. You really have to see this. It almost looks like this is an animatronic Trump hinging at the hips. Look at this. Yeah. My God. Yeah, so Trump just, if you're not, the visual component to this is an important part of it. If you're not seeing it, Trump is basically just standing there as they cheer and this guy sings and he's rocking back and forth like an impatient toddler. It's bizarre. Imagine looking at this and thinking this is normal. They have anointed Trump with oil also after this. No, not in public. This is the guy they believe is the chosen one. That's what's funny. Imagine thinking that God chooses the president and that this is the guy that God chose. God must have quite a sense of humor if that's the case. I mean, no smile, no laughter, no nothing. Okay, so then Trump welcomes 2024 with a frown. There is an explosive and agitated countdown that is taking place, and Trump has a complete lack of affect. It's very strange. And to be perfectly honest, if I were facing life in prison, 91 felony charges, and I know the next 2 years of my life will almost certainly be schlepping on my private airplane between criminal trial and criminal trial, they're kicking me off ballots. I would probably also be lacking enthusiasm for 2024. I don't blame the guy, but something is very wrong here. Take a look at this. And again, Trump rocking back and forth with no affect. All right. So Trump not particularly enthused about welcoming 2024 in. And believe me, I understand it. I understand it. Donald Trump did briefly speak to the crowd at his home, Mar-a-Lago. He claims that people were scalping tickets to the party for $10,000, which is a difficult claim to believe.
Look at Mar-a-Lago. Most of you are members. A couple of you snuck out. They're scalping tickets out. So do you believe it? They're getting $10,000 a ticket. If my members, I know my members are rich, but they're cheap as hell, you know. If they knew they got 10,000, they'd be out of here in 2 seconds, right?
The biggest crowd for any New Year's Eve party at a failed former president's house in history. And then lastly, really big, big musical performances. They, in addition to the guy screaming Lee Greenwood song, they were able to get Vanilla Ice. And just check out how into the music Trump is during his party. It's why he's rocking to the music.
Get your hands in the air. It's a new year. Ice, ice, baby. Ice, ice, baby. You ready? Oh, what's up?
Doesn't Trump just look absolutely thrilled to be there? Anyway. So we're all bringing in the new year with high expectations. We'll start now our deeper analysis later in the week of what are we expecting in the Senate? What are we expecting in the House? Voting does also start soon in the Republican primary with the Iowa caucuses in just a couple of weeks, not even 2 weeks. So we're going to have all of it for you. But this, if I were Trump, I would also be worried. Does this year end with me as president-elect? Or does this year end with me in prison for life? I'm not exaggerating. If I was facing that dilemma, I wouldn't be smiling about Vanilla Ice being at my house either. So we're going to follow all of it. I'm so glad that you'll be with us. Remember, the coupon code is SaveDemocracy24 at joinpacman.com, because that's really what's at stake here. There's something really disturbing we've been seeing in the news lately. The FBI is now gathering huge amounts of data on everything people do on phones and computers. And here is how. Data brokers collect information about what you look at online, where you go, your political views. The FBI then buys that data to keep track of you. It is a legal gray area that the government will happily take advantage of. They don't need a court order. They just do it. But it's not just the government, because criminals can end up accessing that data and use it to target you for phishing or identity theft. Big tech companies, political campaigns can buy the data to try to influence you. But here is the solution. Our sponsor Incogni automatically sends data removal requests to the major data brokers who are required by law to remove your information upon request. If any of your information stays online, Incogni will even follow up with them about removing it. And Incogni keeps you updated with details at every step, so you know when everything's been removed. It is a fantastic service that I use, and my audience gets 60% off. Go to incogni.com/Pacman. Use the code Pacman. That's INCOGNI.com/Pacman. And use the code Pacman for 60% off. The info is in the podcast notes. This is going to be a unique year legally and politically. We are going to see things in the United States political world this year that we have never seen before. At the top level, we are going to see a former president who lost re-election, tried to steal it, was then indicted four times, found to be a civilly liable rapist, found to have defrauded the state of New York, run for re-election while engaged in criminal trials. And this is also a man who has the potential to spend 2025 either in the Oval Office as president or in prison for the rest of his life. We have never seen anything like this. And when your inputs are unprecedented, your outputs presumably will also be unprecedented. I don't know what they will be, but that is my expectation. Donald Trump knows this to some degree. And over the last 72 hours, as we have rung in the new year, some of us with joy, Trump not so much, looked pretty upset during his New Year's Eve party. He has also become overtly terrified. He has lashed out before, but he is lashing out even more. He has seemed afraid before, but he seems even more afraid. And he started with a post on Truth Social going after Special Prosecutor Jack Smith, but also former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney is not a pro-Trump Republican. She's still a right-wing ideologue. She's not a friend of progressives. We're not idealizing Liz Cheney on this program, but she is willing to say, hey, Trump tried to subvert democracy. He shouldn't be president. Trump now accusing her of having stolen or destroyed evidence, a claim for which there is no evidence. You really have to see this to have a shot at even understanding what he's alleging. Trump posting, quote, "Why did American disaster Liz Cheney, who suffers from Trump derangement syndrome and was defeated for Congress by the largest margin for a sitting congressman or congresswoman in the history of our country, illegally delete and destroy most of the evidence and related items from the January 6th committee of political thugs and misfits? This act of extreme sabotage makes it impossible for my lawyers to properly prepare for and present a proper defense of their client, me." Trump is saying she destroyed evidence and thus he now can't build the defense for himself. No evidence of any of this, by the way. "All of the information on crazy Nancy Pelosi turning down 10,000 soldiers that I offered to guard the Capitol building and beyond is gone. The ridiculous deranged Jack Smith case on immunity, which the most respected legal minds in the country say I am fully entitled to, is now completely compromised and should be thrown out and terminated, just like the radical left lunatics did to the evidence." Listen, for almost 3 years now, almost 4 years, Trump and other Republican figures have tried to blame the Capitol riot at the Capitol on that day on Nancy Pelosi by saying Nancy Pelosi was in charge of security and she rejected troops. Nancy Pelosi was not in charge of security and she did not reject troops. That is a lie. That is a lie. Now, it is true that we found out Trump had mentioned something to his own staffers about, shouldn't we maybe bring some people in to protect me? Trump wanted to be protected himself from what, you have to ask. It was all his rioters on that day. But there is no evidence that Pelosi did this, that, or the other thing. There is simply no evidence whatsoever. Now, the claim Trump is making about Liz Cheney, there's no evidence that evidence and documents from the January 6th investigation was destroyed or deleted. Never mind that Liz Cheney had anything to do with it. These are new allegations that we've not heard before that are not based in anything we could call evidence or fact. The other aspect of this that I think is very important to mention is that when people are scared, when people are cornered, they do start to behave erratically, often in ways that are further self-destructive. And I've said before, Trump has done horrible things politically, and he's accused of having committed a whole bunch of crimes. He's a horrible person, terrible president, all of those things. I have no empathy for him as far as that goes. I also think it's logical that if you're up against what he's up against, which is, I don't know if I'm going to be president or in prison for the rest of my life, you would be scared. I would be terrified. you would be lashing out at anybody that you think maybe you could blame or maybe could help you in some way. That part makes sense to me because I would be scared to death. And many Republicans now are starting to openly talk about, he'll just be president from prison. Won't slow him down. Let's talk about that next. The president from jail narrative about Donald Trump, now that we are in 2024, has gone mainstream. What if he ends up in prison? He'll just be president in prison. Here is our old, our new friend, I guess I would say, Dr. Jeanette Nishawat on Fox News, a medical doctor, by the way, not an expert on legal matters. Important to keep in mind. Here she is over the weekend on Fox News. They are now starting to say, you know, if he ends up in prison, he'll just be president from prison, trying to normalize that as an idea.
Rogan's made, Bill Maher and others who are tend to be on the left, which is that you're feeding into his narrative. And that's why I still think it's his to lose. And I think that by the time we get through the first three and we get to Super Tuesday, it's going to be Donald Trump likely left standing.
All right. So what happens if he's indicted at some point?
And of course, by the way, they mean convicted. He's been indicted four times. You have to understand, they don't even know what they're saying. What they mean here is what happens if he's convicted. He's been long since indicted.
All right. So what happens if he's indicted at some point?
He can be president from jail if he has to. But
that's right.
I think to your point, Paul, despite all of the threats, despite all the charges, Republicans are still rallying around Donald Trump.
Yes, potentially at their peril. They are absolutely rallying around Donald Trump. He has 63% support now. It's the numbers. We'll look at them later this week in the primary. It's now Trump 63, DeSantis 11 and Nikki Haley 11. There's no more gap for DeSantis with Haley. They are tied. But between them, they have 22% and Trump has 63. So they are rallying around Trump, potentially at their own peril. And this is a cult. Once you start talking about Trump being president from prison, I'm not saying legally it wouldn't be possible. Seems it might be. But we are talking about a full blown cult, and this is what we're trying to protect against. I want to send a huge shout out to State Market Restaurant in Sanford, Florida. Now, I have to tell you, I think this is like a right wing biker bar. I don't know for sure. You can investigate it, but it seems that they like the David Pakman show. I heard from our viewer, Dylan, and Dylan sent me this picture. Dylan told me I was in this restaurant the other day, State Market Restaurant in Sanford, Florida. They had the David Pakman show up on the TV. When you look around, it looks like there are some biker gang dudes in there. Well-reviewed spot. They seem to have extraordinarily hearty breakfasts, to which I say mazel tov, absolutely. And love to see it. A heroic a moment in the redder parts of Florida. This is definitely Florida, not Florida, right? State Market Restaurant in Sanford, Florida. If you ever go into a restaurant, a cafe, whatever, and they are playing the David Pakman show, please take a picture or even a video and send it in. Thanks to Dylan. And hello to everyone there. Hello to everyone at State Market Restaurant in Sanford, Florida. I've never been, never had the pleasure, but maybe if I'm in that area, I will stop in someday. Thank you. We have a voicemail number. That number is 2192 David P. I am going to make a promise. I'm going to make this public so that you can hold me accountable. We get so many voicemails that last year I told you, hey, we have like 2000 voicemails that we need to go through, 3000, 3500. Upon return from the New Year's break, we have 4100 voicemails that we have not been able to listen to. I am going to make every effort to get that down at least under 3000 and soon. We're going to work our way through the voicemails. And here is a voicemail that came in over the weekend about a caller who's very triggered and says, how can I say the economy is any good? The economy is obviously trash. Let's see what he has to say. I'm interested.
David, why are you acting like the economy is so booming and good?
Because I look at the data. This is not a show about my opinion. My opinion is irrelevant. I'm looking at the data, and that's why I say the economy is good.
The economy is absolute trash.
Oh.
There are no jobs.
Oh. We actually have record low unemployment.
Everything is so freaking expensive.
Inflation was zero in October, 0.1 in November, and year over year inflation is down to 3.1%.
Interest rates are through the roof.
Interest rates are down 2 points and coming down further.
Kids can't even buy a house.
Well, okay. Kids can't even buy a house. I don't know what age you're thinking of. That part may be true.
What would you be doing if you weren't doing YouTube, man?
I'd probably be working in finance, to be honest. I was all set to go into finance, and then they pulled me into podcasting.
I did everything right, and they indicted me.
No, I would almost certainly be working in finance, yeah.
I mean, you have to sit there and talk crap about Trump every single day to put food on your table, man.
I don't have to. I choose to, sir, and that's a big difference.
If you didn't have that, you'd be totally screwed, man.
Right.
But I'm telling you this right here. There is no jobs. Nobody is spending money.
Actually, GDP has been up dramatically.
The economy is in the hole. I'm not talking about Trump or Biden. I'm not saying right or left, red or blue. I'm telling you the facts. The economy is in the dumps.
I would love it if he was able to present a single statistic that suggests that. We don't have a perfect economy. And again, you know, we started at the top of the show by pointing out just because they're lying about oil production being down when it's actually up doesn't mean we like using oil as a source of energy. They are lying about oil production being down, and I wish it were, and that we were getting off of oil and going over to green energy. In the same way, just because the economy is doing really well by all historical metrics doesn't mean that we say, hey, I'm satisfied. We don't need to do any better. There are people without access to health care. 40% of the country can't meet an unexpected $1,000 expense without putting it on a credit card or borrowing from friends and family or otherwise going into debt. Wages have not kept up with inflation over the longer period of time. There's a whole list of problems, but we are doing way better than we were. We are not the be all end all of a Northern European style democracy and economy, but we have made improvements, and we have to recognize that if you are measuring how well the economy is doing differently, depending on who's president, then you're being biased. OK, I look at the same metrics no matter who is president. I don't go into a rabbit hole and focus on one metric when it's a Democrat and then another when it's a Republican in order to make the Democrat look good and the Republican bad. But we have to be honest. We have to be forthright here and say, if we take the top 5, 6, 7 metrics we use to say, how is the economy doing? The economy is doing quite well. All right. What is coming up in 2024? So many things. Live streams related to election results and political rallies will be resuming in just a week or so. We will be launching the new David Pakman Show website in about 6 weeks. I know it's becoming like the new healthcare plan of Trump. And I keep saying we're like a month away. We're like a month away. I actually have no clue about website design. So I look at it. I'm like, I don't know. It seems almost done. Must be 2 weeks away. But there's actually a lot of work here. The next big thing is setting up the members area on the new website, which is going to be fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. But it's just not quite done yet. We're targeting roughly February 15th for the launch of the site. So that'll be happening. We are going to be revamping a lot of the visual elements on the show, like, for example, when, you know, these little blue graphics come up and stuff like that. By the way, if someone in the show audience knows how to do this type of graphic and just revamp these, please get in touch because we will do it. And if you want to do it pro bono, great. If you want to give me a price quote, that's fine, too. Email info@davidpakman.com. But please know what you're doing. Sometimes I get people who send me weird things produced in, you know, like Microsoft Paint. And I'm like, obviously, these are not the caliber of what we need. But if you can do the graphics, please get in touch. A lot of great things are coming up, including some very special guests. And on today's bonus show, we will talk about a landmark ruling by the Israeli Supreme Court rejecting right-wing changes to the judiciary. A great thing. We are going to talk about more states increasing child tax credits in 2024. And we will talk about a Florida woman suing Hershey for millions, saying Reese's candies don't have carved designs. This is one of those wild Florida man stories, except it's about a Florida woman. All of those stories and more when producer Pat joins me for the first time of the year, just upcoming. Sign up at joinpakman.com. Use the coupon code, courageously use it. Save Democracy 24 I will see you on the first bonus show of the year in mere moments. Otherwise, we'll be back here tomorrow.